We've got our kiddos in here, not just on stage, but we've got our kiddos sitting out here with us today from our kids ministry. And kiddos, you guys, when you came in, you got a little piece of paper and a clipboard, and one of the things that it asks you to do is draw a nativity set. So if you're sitting out there and you've got the markers, go ahead and draw what you see up here. Draw a nativity set that you've got in your house. Let your mind think on it. And as you're drawing it, I want you to remember this. And moms and dads, grandparents, adults, as they're drawing it, let's remember this, that what they're drawing, that what we see here, it's actually a story, right? What we see right here is a historical event that actually happened with real people on this earth. And we set these out in our houses every single year to remember Luke chapter 2. They just read it. If you've got a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 2. And in doing so, know that we're going to look at the events of history. We're going to look at what really happened with real people when God stepped in on planet Earth at Christmas time about 2,000 years ago. And as we do, let me just encourage you, don't rush through it. Don't let it become a routine. Don't let it be something that is unimpressive to you because you've heard it so many times and you hear it each and every year at Christmas time. But instead, let's slow down. Let's remember. Let's be encouraged by all that God did to make this a reality. And as we think about Christmas, as we think about the Christmas story and the stable and the mangers and the animals and the sheepdog and everything else that we think about, let's just be reminded of the simple word, trust. Okay, when we think about Christmas, we can trust. We can trust God. We can trust God's ultimate plan, and we can trust God's timing. And we see that this morning in Luke chapter 2. They did such a great job. I might have her come back. They'll either come back up here and read it for us, but okay, I'll just read it. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the entire world should be registered. This is a census, right? You don't fill this one out online. You've got to go somewhere. The entire world should be registered. It was the first one when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 is a really pivotal moment in Scripture and in the history of the world. God's at work here, but God's not at work through one of his children. God is not at work through someone that worships him, through someone that believes in him. We see God at work through a government that honestly, throughout history, has been very oppressive to God's people. And this decree goes out from the emperor, from the very, very top. It's not an everyday thing. This would have been a major moment in the history of that empire. It's outside of the normal rhythm. It's outside of the normal flow. And everyone that falls within that empire, within that kingdom, has to move. Everyone has to go, everyone has to be registered or counted in this census. And the Bible tells us that the people that were in that empire knew that they didn't have a choice in this. And so all of them begin to move. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 3. It says, each one went to be registered, each person to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee. Joseph goes up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house and the line of David. And he went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was also with child. And so at this point in Luke chapter 2, at this moment in history, what we've got going on is the entire world's moving. Everybody is caught up in something that's bigger than them. Everybody is caught up in something that they don't have control over, and they have to respond to the events that are around them. Mary and Joseph are right in the middle of it, and they've got to make a journey from Galilee all the way down to Bethlehem, about 70 miles. And from verse 5, we know that Mary's pregnant. Not the most ideal time to travel, but they have no choice in the matter. They have to go, right? 70 miles, they make the journey down to Bethlehem. Not an easy journey at any situation, but especially with a pregnant Mary, but they have to find their way down, right? Now we're going to pause and have some Bible trivia. Kiddos, if you guys are in here taking notes, I want you to answer this question. Maybe moms and dads, you can help them. How did Mary make it all that way? How did Mary make it 70 miles? Did she walk? Did she ride a donkey? Did she sit in a wagon? I'm hearing some people say donkey, right? Here's the thing, right? This is just a fun little Bible trivia at Christmas time. If we think donkey and I think donkey, right? But our nativity sets are tricking us. They always have a donkey, but it doesn't actually say that in Scripture, right? So whether they made it on a donkey, whether they walked, whether they rode in a wagon, however they got there, they probably were traveling in a group with everybody else that had to go to Bethlehem. But we see in verse 6 that they made it. And look at verse 6. While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so as we look at this, what we see Emmanuel, right? And we know that that means God with us, because at Christmas, that the miracle is that God became a man, is that God was born as a baby, right? We see it, and then this moment in history, this isn't a story, this isn't a fairy tale, this isn't something that we just think about or talk about because for no other reason. We think about it and talk about it because it actually happened. God steps in, God was born as a baby, that the greatest miracle in the history of the world happened right here. We put these in our homes to remember the greatest miracle in the history of the world that happened quiet, alone, on one silent night, in the middle of nowhere in Israel, in the outskirts, backwoods town of Bethlehem. God gives us his greatest miracle in Jesus. And listen, when Jesus was born, we don't read about a huge celebration of family surrounding them. We don't read about these parades of friends that come by to stop and to check in. I mean, think about when your kids were born. You probably weren't alone. You probably not too long after that had your parents there. There were grandparents stepping in, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. Maybe there were friends that stopped by when your kids were born. That's not what happened here. We see Mary and Joseph, and we see them alone. When we had our kids, man, it was incredible to see the family that showed up, the friends that showed up, and it was good to see them, but it was also good to see what they brought to us when they showed up, right? Almost every person came with food, right? Cakes and cookies and treats, all kinds of stuff. They just showed up and it was there and it was good, but not here. Mary and Joseph are alone, probably pretty young, probably very overwhelmed with what's going on, traveling. They're out of their elements. They're out where the animals are. And their baby is now sleeping in a trough that the animals would have eaten out of. Man, the first time that I held our oldest son, Landon, it's been a little bit over 9 years now, and the doctor, you know, gets him and cleans him up, and the doctor puts him in my arms, and he was only the second baby that I had ever held, and I'm holding him here, and I'm like, wow, what do I do with this? Right, what? I don't know how to hold him. I don't know how to do his head. I don't know how to hold him standing right here in the hospital, let alone what I do when I leave the hospital, right? It was an overwhelming feeling for me. I was surrounded by family and by doctors and by nurses. We were in a hospital. Mary and Joseph, a young couple, get their baby. They wrap him up, and they lay him in the feeding trough. And as they laid him there, I want you to get yourself in their mind for a second. Not where they wanted to be, not where they thought they'd be, not ever how they would have imagined this. And I just have to think that as they're laying Jesus on the hay in the manger, they had to have been thinking, this is not how we planned this. This is not how we saw this going. And if they were thinking that, they were exactly right. Right? No part of this. Every time we look at it in our houses, every time we see the nativity set, every time we think about it, no part of this was their plan. That the baby, the way that they had the baby, the census, the travel, the full ends, and of course the manger. Listen, no mother plans that. No father plans that, right? This story shows us, the events of history right here show us in a miraculously real way that even when we don't know what's going on, God has a plan, right? I know that I'm not the only one that has thought over these last several months, what in the world is going on here? God, what is your plan in our world today? That I'm not the only one that has gotten online to check the news thinking, what could possibly happen next? It's been a really, really weird time. I was at my 4-year-old's Christmas performance the other day at his school. A lot of you guys have done that. You ended the year with your band concert, your choir concert. Your preschool has some kind of little thing where the kids sang. And so that's what I went to the other day at Will's school. And we were outside. We were spaced out. I was over 10 feet apart from every other parent. And I had this moment where I just looked around. I looked at the kids singing, and they were smiling and having a blast. But as I looked around at all the other parents, I realized that we're spaced out. There's no eye contact. We're not near each other. We're not talking to each other like we normally would. We're wearing masks, and everybody's looking straight ahead. And I thought, what in the world is going on here? What is going on? And I was just sitting there wondering, God, what's next? Wondering where and how God was working even when we can't see it. And I know that when I wonder what's going on, when you wonder what's going on, when we have the thought, God, how could this be a part of your plan? God, how could you be at work in the midst of this situation? We can look back here. We can look back to Christmas. We can look back to the Nativity. We can look back to Jesus being born and laid in a manger and know that not only does God have a plan, but you and I, and even in the midst of our wondering, we can trust God's plan. Right at the very beginning of our Bibles, we see in Genesis chapter 3, God promises to send Jesus. We see it again in Genesis chapter 12, God promises to send Jesus. And as we walk through the Bible, we can see God orchestrating the events of history to bring us right here to this moment, to ultimately fulfill God's plan. And there's so many different things that happened that were specifically a part of God's promises and his plan. He would be born of a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7. That's what it says. Mary was a virgin when she had Jesus. He's from the line of David. We see it in 2 Samuel 7 and in Jeremiah 23. Joseph was from the line of David. That's why they had to go to Bethlehem. And we see also the Old Testament says that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And if you look at verse 4, it says, Joseph went from Galilee all the way down to Bethlehem. Listen, it was God's plan for them to have a baby. It was God's plan for them to have a baby 70 miles away from the city that they lived in. And it was God's plan to move those two, Mary and Joseph, down there to ultimately fulfill the plan and the prophecies in the person of Jesus. But I want you to think about that move down to Bethlehem on a little bit deeper level. Have you ever thought about how that happened? Right? Mary and Joseph moved down to Bethlehem, but in order to get them there, God shook up and God moved the entire world. Everybody on earth was affected to get Mary and Joseph down to Bethlehem. Everybody in the empire, everybody in that side of the world are stirred up and moved around. Listen, God easily could have created a different situation to get them there. He could have created a family emergency that would have gotten Joseph down to Bethlehem. He could have gotten Joseph an incredible job to get Joseph on down to Bethlehem. Listen, God could have done anything he wanted to get them to Bethlehem, but instead, God shows us in a major way that his hands are on everything, that he is in control of everything, that his plan is going to happen the way that he wants his plan to happen. And Mary and Joseph are caught right in the middle of it. And so for them, as we read Luke chapter 2, we see that there's a lot going on. We see that they're involved in a lot, that their world has been turned upside down. We see that there's probably a lot of questions that they have. Maybe even at this moment, this point in time, they have more questions than answers. But we see in the midst of it that God's plan never fails. The travel, the manger, the baby, all of it is God's plan, even when they didn't understand. And I'm guessing that it's very possible for you, just like Mary and Joseph, that you're entering into a Christmas season and things maybe aren't as you expected. Maybe things aren't as you had hoped. Maybe things aren't as you had planned. And maybe you'd say, you know what, not just this season. I mean, this year hasn't been what I thought it would be. This year hasn't been what I planned it would be. Things haven't gone the way that I hoped, dreamed, or wanted them to go over the course of this year. And if you're thinking that right now, let me just encourage you and remind you that you're not thinking that alone. I want you to look up here. Right? Look at Luke 2. Look at the history of Christmas and take comfort knowing that God is still at work, that God is in control, that God sees you, that God knows you, that God is working out his plan in the midst of whatever season you're walking through right now. So at Christmas, let me just encourage you to trust in God's plan. And if you know Jesus, if you're in a personal relationship with him, you know that you can trust him. You know that his plan won't fail. And you know that his plan is always, it's always on time. And that's the second thing that I want to make sure we walk away with this morning. We can trust God's plan, but we can also trust God's timing. His plan's going to come to pass maybe when we want, maybe when we don't want, but no matter what, we know that we can trust his time. That's a huge word in verse 6. Look back in your Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 6. It says, while they were there, what happened? The time came for Mary to give birth. Right, this day that's been planned in eternity, this day that was planned before the creation of the world was finally here. The time came for Mary to give birth. And now Mary's got Jesus in her arms. She lays him in the manger. There's this incredible sense of joy that flows from it, but it was in God's timing, not hers. It happened before they were married. It happened after a census. It happened in Bethlehem, right? All of this clearly revealing God's timing, right? When we read verse 6, when we take in the nativity, my prayer is that it would lead us more and more to trust God's timing to accomplish his plan. I'm the kind of person, and maybe you are too, I want things now. I want things here. I want things when I'm ready. I want things on my timeline, but we see in God's word that God's timing is better than our timing. If you're wondering about a job right now, if you're wondering about a relationship right now, if you're wondering about some health things right now, let God's word remind us this morning that even while we wait, and I'm guessing that a lot of us feel like we've probably spent all of 2020 waiting, right? That even while we wait, we can trust God's timing. See, in the Christmas story, and Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and the manger and the Christmas story, we see that while we're waiting, God's working, right? While we're waiting, God's working. The time came, like verse 6 says, the time came for Mary to give birth thousands of years after God promised Jesus would come. Why? Why so long? What's God's timing? What was special about this time? Was it a random moment where God said, and I think now we're going to do it, or was there more to it than that? Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that you and I could receive adoption as his sons, as the sons and daughters of God. Listen, the time had come where God was going to step in. God controlled empires. God moved people. God moved kings and nations and ultimately sent Jesus at that time. Right? We said up front, it's not a fairy tale. Right? This is history. This happened with real people on earth in time in a kingdom. I want you to think about what else was going on at the time that Jesus was born. There's three pivotal things that allowed God to wait for this moment to send Jesus to change the world forever. The first is this. Listen, at this point in history, the Jewish people, the nation had grown. It exploded. There were tons of people, and they had been moved all over the world. And as they moved around the world, as they traveled around the world, as they relocated around the world, you know what they took with them? They took this. They took the promises of God that are full of prophecies pointing forward to this moment, that are full of teachings pointing forward to this moment, telling them that a Savior is going to come. Eventually, this was translated into Greek. Places of worship are built all over the world. In Rome and Alexandria, there's huge hubs of Jewish people and Jewish teaching. So the world's now waiting on the birth of Jesus. The second thing that's going on at this moment in history is as those Jewish people moved around the world, the Greeks began to be heavily influenced by the teachings that the Jewish people taught with them. A lot of those Greeks became known as something called God-fearers, right? They didn't convert all the way to Judaism, but they believed what they read in the scriptures of the Old Testament. It influenced them, and it created this culture that was permeating the world, that was ripe and ready for the good news of Jesus and Jesus' birth. And then finally, at this moment in the history of the world, the Roman Empire controlled almost everything. And they were about growth, they were about expansion, and they were about peace. So they had brought this peace to the world. They brought roads to the world. They brought trade routes to the world. And so think about the early church and how the early church was able to just explode out of Israel and go around the world right away. Listen, ideas and people that never before in history would have ever had any interaction with one another now can because of what's going on in the Roman Empire, right? Think about Paul and those early missionaries. They were able to go all around the world and move because of the moment in history, because of the fullness of time when Jesus was born. Listen, God's timing is perfect. If Jesus is born a century earlier, two centuries earlier, the world's in a completely different place. A century later, two centuries later, the world's in a completely different place. God's timing is absolutely perfect. God's not slow in keeping his promises. He's not late. He's not early. God fulfilled his plan in his time. Doesn't always fit our timeline, right? But we've got to trust that God knows best. We've got to trust that God knows what's going on, that God knows what's going to happen next. So as we look this year at our nativities, as we think about Christmas, as we read the Christmas story, as we sing the Christmas song, let's be reminded that we can trust God's ultimate plan and that we can trust God's ultimate time. Listen, God loves us. God desires a relationship with each and every person that's here in this room. And at Christmas, we see that God worked in a way where only he could to send Jesus, his son. And by believing in him, we have the promise of our sins forgiven and eternal life. Listen, we can trust God's plan and trust God's time. Would you pray with me? As we bow our heads this morning, as we think about Christmas, as we think about the Christmas stories, we think about those kids acting out the nativity, as we think about the simple nativity sets that are in our homes, I just want to invite you to go before the Lord and just confess to him. Say, God, I trust your plan. And God, I trust you to work it out in your time. Tell him what's going on in your life right now. Tell him what you're waiting on. Tell him what you're anticipating. And then this morning, choose to trust him to work out whatever's going on in your life at the exact right time. And there might be some of us this morning that are hearing about Christmas and hearing about the events of Christmas. And this morning, maybe you realize for the first time that God sent Jesus as the ultimate gift at the perfect time according to his plan so that you could know him, so that you could trust in Jesus, to have your sins forgiven and the promises of heaven and eternal life. Listen, at Christmas time, right, better than any other time to think about Jesus. If that's you this morning and you would say, I don't know Jesus, but I'm ready to know Jesus. I didn't know what Christmas was all about, but now I know what Christmas is all about. Maybe you say, God has been working in my heart for quite some time, and this morning I'm ready to trust in him. This morning I'm ready to give my heart and my life over to him. If that's you this morning, don't leave here today without praying and just saying, God, forgive me. Come into my life. Forgive my sins, draw me into that relationship with you, and make me, as your word says, a son or a daughter of you. If you do that this morning, and we would love to pray with you. As we leave today, on the doors at the left side, we've got a prayer room, and we've got people back there that would just love to pray with you, to open up God's word and show you what it means to step into a relationship with him. Maybe you're thinking, I need to be baptized. They would love to pray with you and talk with you about that. Maybe you want more information about the church. Maybe you're just walking through a difficult season, a lonely season, a scary season. You just want someone to pray with you or over you. And whatever God's doing in your heart, take a second to connect with us as we close. It's on the left side, on those left doors as we walk out. There's people there right there. They've got name tags. Just say, I'm ready to pray about what God's doing in my heart. God, we love you so much. Lord, we thank you that when we don't know what's going on, we can know that you're at work. God, we thank you that when we wonder what the plan is, God, we don't have to wonder about whether or not you've got one. God, when things aren't happening the way or the speed that we want them to happen, God, I pray that you would help us to lean into Christmas, to lean into to the nativity. That one night, God, help us to understand that your timing is always perfect. God, help us to trust your plan and help us to trust your time this Christmas season. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.